Hey, I get to start a new series. I'll be doing this through the end of November, and then we'll get into our Christmas series. We're so close to Christmas now, it doesn't seem right. I was out in the yard working and just sweating yesterday, and I'm thinking, this isn't right. It's supposed to be getting close to Christmas time. But anyway, we're going to start a new series today called America's Pastime. Now, who knows what America's pastime is? Baseball. First service didn't know. I don't know what. Or they didn't want to say. But I love baseball. I've played baseball all my life. Started at 5 years old. And I say I played until they wouldn't let me play anymore. No colleges recruited me. And so I had to quit at that point and start playing men's slow pitch softball. Which is right there together, right? I mean, it's all the same thing. Except for I can hit the ball now. But yeah, baseball is America's pastime, and we love baseball in America. I mean, it was invented here, and it's just been one of those things. I love everything about baseball. I love going to the ballpark, whether it's to watch Little League or to go to Little Rock to the Travelers game or to St. Louis to watch the Cardinals play. And I just love everything about the experience of it. You know, just the smell of the fresh cut grass. You know, the crack of the bat, you know, seeing someone hit a home run, you know, all that stuff. I just love it. And I would go to a baseball game every day if they would let me. But I can't do that. And so, but anyway, everything about baseball, I love it. I love it. A pastime is an activity that you do to enjoy your free time. It's also something that amuses or serves to make time pass agreeably. And that's what baseball is to me. I mean, it's something I enjoy doing in my free time, and it makes time pass agreeably. And, you know, we're in the World Series right now, and my Cardinals aren't playing, but I'm rooting against the Cubs. And so, hallelujah. but, yeah, I mean, I just love everything about baseball. Used to, baseball was a passion to me, though. Back when I was playing, it was something that was more than just a pastime. It was something that I lived for. It was something that drove me. You know, we'd go in the backyard and we'd throw up the ball and hit it. You know, you'd throw the tennis ball against the wall and catch ground balls. And you know, life was consumed with baseball and making myself better. But baseball is no longer a passion of mine. It's more of a pastime to me. Because, you know, I don't really play anymore. And so it's really just something that in my free time that I do. You know, I used to keep up with all the baseball stats and who was hitting what and all that stuff. And I can just barely tell you who's on the team anymore. And it's not as important to me anymore, but it's something I can do in my free time to enjoy. Our series is called America's Pastime, and with the tagline, "Is God your passion or your pastime?" Is God your passion or your pastime? See, there's a difference between passion and pastime. Both of them you enjoy. And so, as any good nerd, I was stopped and I looked up the word passion in the dictionary. Anybody else do that besides me? Any other nerds out there? Nobody's going to admit it. We got two admitted over here. But it says passion is an intense driving feeling or conviction. It's an outbreak of anger, and it's a strong liking, desire, and devotion to an object, activity, or concept. Now, I was reading a book the other day. It's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Richard Kiyosaki. Totally just butchered his name right there, but that's okay. But he said this in his book. He said, passion is love and anger combined. Passion is love and anger combined. And when I heard that, I was just like, I mean, I was actually listening to the book, and I was driving down the road, and I just kind of paused, and I thought, well, that's kind of weird. That's a weird statement. Passion is love and anger combined, and that's what drove me to go look up the word, and it had that definition of there. It's an outbreak of anger, and I thought, how is passion, love, and anger combined? And the more I thought about it, the more it actually did make sense. Because, you know, going back to the baseball illustration, I loved it. It was a drive in my life. But what if I failed, or if I wasn't really good at an aspect of the game? What would I do? See, when I was younger, when you lose, you know, that's heartbreaking. It causes a dissatisfaction. It causes an anger on the inside of you because you failed. And so what does that failure make you do? It makes you strive to be better. It makes you evaluate your game. What can I do better? I only hit one out of four times, so I need to work on my hitting. I dropped a pop fly, and so, you know, I need to keep my eye on the ball. You know, and there's things that you do because it's your passion. Because of the failure, it caused anger in my life, and it caused me to evaluate myself and strive to be better. And see, that's the difference between a passion and a pastime, is if it's your passion, when something doesn't go right or something's not working, you have this striving on the inside of you to do better, to make something better, to fix it. If it's your pastime, you don't do that. See, baseball is my pastime. I play slow pitch softball now, and I do nothing to make myself better anymore. I'm thinking like, this is it. This is the best I'm going to get. Yeah, you know, every season about a month out, I start thinking, you know, I need to start running, you know, and so when I run to first base, I don't like pass out when I get there. Maybe I can stretch that thing into a double, you know, if I start running out and start getting in shape a little bit and get used to running, and I never do it, never. And so, you know, it's not something that's driving in me anymore to get better at the sport. And so it's become a pastime to me now. And so let's relate this to God. See, our passion for God should evoke love and anger on the inside of us. Our passion for God should evoke love and anger on the inside of us. See, it should evoke a love for God because, you know, Jesus, he gave up everything for us. It was because of his passion, because of his love for us, that he went to the cross and that he died in our place so that we could have salvation. See, Jesus didn't deserve that. It's what we deserved. And because God loved us so much that he gave his one and only son to be that sacrifice for us. And that was the passion that was in God's heart for us. It was an anger on the inside of him because his people could not come into his presence anymore because of sin. And so he did something about it, and he sent Jesus to die for us. And now as we give our lives to him, then he does something in us, that he changes our hearts. The Bible says that when we give our lives to him, that we become a brand new creation. It said, old things have passed away, all things have become new. And that was the passion of God, was to eradicate sin out of our lives, to put an end to the hold that sin has in our lives. And so because of that, as I have passion for God, I should have a love and devotion to God for what he has done for me. Because he has set me free. He has set me free from sin. He has set me free from death. He has set me free from bondage in my life. And now I can live freely for him because of what he did for me. And so that should evoke a love and a devotion in my heart. It should also evoke a love for other people in my heart. They asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment that we need to live by? And he said, you need to love God and you need to love people. He said, if you do these two things, you fulfill the law and the prophets. And so our passion for God should evoke love for him, a devotion to him, and strive to love people. But see, it should also evoke some anger on the inside of us. Now, we really don't usually think about this when it comes to God, like God, hate, anger. I mean, it's not an anger towards God that our passion for him should evoke in our lives. But what it is, for me, it's an anger towards my sin and my failure. I get mad when I sin. I get mad at myself because I know better. I know that I'm set free from this sin. But yet when I go and I sin, it upsets me. Come on, you can do better than that. You know better than that. You don't have to do that. You are no longer a slave to that sin, to that habit, to that bad thing that you do. You've been set free from that. And our passion for God should evoke anger towards sin in us. It should evoke an anger towards our failures and our shortcomings. See, I also get angry when I miss an opportunity to minister. Because we've all had those moments to where, you know, we're going about our daily lives and God tells us, like, hey, go talk to that person. Go love on that person. And we have a choice to make whether to do that or not. And it makes me mad when I don't do it. knowing that God's asked me to do something and not doing it, and I miss a chance to show the love of Christ, the grace of God, to somebody else. There's some other angers that come out of our passion for God, and one of them is an anger for injustice in the world. One of the things that bothers me is that there's still people in this world that have never heard the name of Jesus. Now, that's hard to believe in America, to where you can turn on a TV set, you can turn on the radio, you walk by a church like every day, and we're just so saturated with church and God and all that stuff that it would be hard to miss the name of Jesus in our society. But there's whole sections of the world that have never heard the name of Jesus. If you get into missions at all, you hear it's called the 1040 window, and it's a lot of the Arab nations across the top of Africa into the Middle East, and all of that area is called the 1040 window. And there's a lot of people that have never heard the name of Jesus because it's illegal to preach Jesus in those areas. Like, you could be put to death if you're preaching Jesus in those areas. And that bothers me, that there's still people in our world that have never heard the name of Jesus. In fact, one of the things that we said when we went to Honduras, we were talking to Omar and Pastor Eric, and we said, when we go down there, we're looking to adopt another village, and we want to find one that doesn't know Jesus. There's no church there. There's nothing there that's related to the gospel. We want to go in there, and we want to make a difference in one of those communities. And they found us one. And we got to go and visit them. And there was no churches. There was nothing there that was Christian except for the name of the place. It was called San Juan, which is St. John the Apostle. And so, but we go in there, and I was able to preach the gospel to them. And it was one of the best things that I've ever experienced in my life, to be able to preach the gospel to people that's never heard Jesus. And that's a passion on the inside of me, and it makes me angry that there's places still in the world that's never heard Jesus. And so let's go back to the main quote. Passion is love and anger combined. It's passion is one of those emotions that drive us to do something that we love and to make it better. And so let's talk about this in our passion for God, because I believe that we can be passionate about God, and that we can love God and we can devote our lives to Him. But there's another aspect of it that wants us to make our relationship with Him better. And that's where the passion comes in, is that friction of sin and failure in our lives should make us strive to be closer to God. But I'm here to propose that there's a lot of people in life, a lot of Christians, that doesn't happen to anymore. And I believe that that's because we've made God our pastime instead of our passion. That we've lost the drive, we've lost that anger part in us that's striving against sin, that's striving to make ourselves better. And there's lots of times that as we're growing in Christ, you know, we get saved and we have that passion and we begin to grow in Christ. We begin to get in His Word and get to know God. And we get to this place to where we're kind of comfortable. We're kind of satisfied with where we are. And then we just kind of quit. I'm not saying we walk away from God. I'm just saying we quit pursuing God. And we just kind of stall. And we lose that passion. We lose that fire to make ourselves better in our relationship with Him. And at that point, it becomes our pastime. It becomes an activity that we enjoy during our free time. It's something that amuses and serves to make time pass agreeably. And so, one thing that I believe that when we get saved is that when we get saved, that God places His passion, the passions that are in His heart, He places them in our heart to live by. And we're going to get into this in a few weeks, talking about the passion of God and what He's passionate about. Because I believe that when we get saved, that God puts those in our hearts. And that's the things that should be driving us in our relationship with God. Because when we make our relationship with God about us, then we're missing the point. We've made it a pastime. Because our passion, the things that drive us, should be what drives God and what drove Jesus when He was here on the earth. But we're going to talk about that another time. I don't want to get into all of that. So when we're passionate about God, He places His passions on the inside of us to live by. So let me ask the question. How do we know if God is our passion or our pastime? How is it that we can decipher this? How do we know where we are on the scale? And I just want to say right here that this is not a condemning message. Because I believe all of us go through the highs and lows in our spiritual life. You know, we're filled with passion and we get close to God. And we have those times that we hit the valley to where we seem distant from God. And I'm not bashing that. I believe that's kind of a natural thing in our lives. In fact, one thing in my life is I'm analytical. I like to analyze things and figure things out. When I was a kid, I used to take things apart and put them back together, just see how they worked. Anybody else like that? You just tinker with stuff and just... Sometimes it worked when I put it back together. Sometimes it didn't. But anyway, I like to analyze things. And I've, in my own life, I've analyzed that I go through this cycle three times a year. Three times a year, I go from a passionate state into a time of where God is more my pastime than a passion. And it follows the calendar. And I know it's coming. I know it's happening. But lots of times I don't do anything about it. Naturally, at the beginning of the year, I like to do a 21-day fast to where I fast something like Facebook or coffee. I did coffee once. It was a really bad idea. Don't fast coffee. Sodas. I can do sodas, but got to keep the coffee. But anyway, I fast for 21 days and I just seek God and go, God, what do you have for me this year? What is a something that I need to strive for this year? You know, kind of set some goals and pray through some things. And it's a natural time for a high spiritually in my life. And then, you know, we got youth conferences that we go to. We go to church conferences and it's just a natural time of God building me up. And there's this passion in my heart during the first part of the year that I love. And then it seems to hit a point in my life to where it's like I'm like everything's going great and I stall out. And I fall down in the valley. I lose the passion in my life. And, you know, if anybody's ever run, you know, when you run up a hill, it's kind of a slow process. But then you get to the top and run down, it's a lot faster. That's kind of the way it is spiritually. That it seems like it takes a while, you know, to get the passion going. But, you know, when you kind of stall out, you know, it drops off pretty quick. So that happens to me at the beginning, and then summer comes along, and I start praying and seeking God about the summer, getting ready for camps. We got youth camp, we got kids camp, we got mission trip coming up, and so I begin to build the passion again, and at the end of the summer, I'm tired. I'm just like, God, I just want to rest, and I crash again. School's starting back up, and so I begin to pray and seek God again and build that back up. And then, you know, usually I speak during through November, and at the end of November, it's December, it's time to rest again, and I crash again. All to do the cycle over. And the crazy thing is I know what's going on. I know this is happening. But lots of times I don't fight it. And I allow my relationship with God to become a pastime. And so I want to go through three scriptures today. And let this be a litmus test to figure out where you are spiritually with God. Are you passionate about God right now? Or is God your pastime right now? And like I said, I'm not doing this to condemn anybody because we all go through the process. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 15 to look at the first one. And I want to go through these pretty quickly. Just three quick tests that we can look at in our lives to examine our lives to see where we are at spiritually. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, some of the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. And they asked him, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. Jesus replied, why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? I always love these interactions between Jesus and the Pharisees and those guys. Because, I mean, Jesus just gets them real quickly. Has he ever done that to you? He does that to me too. It's like, why? Why do you do that? Anyway, for instance, God says, honor your father and mother. And anyone who speaks disrespectfully to their father and mother must be put to death. Aren't you glad that we don't follow the law today? I would not have any children. I mean, just saying. But you say that it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say that they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel out the word of God for your own traditions. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you when he wrote, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands of God." One of the first litmus tests we can look at here, and we see this in what Isaiah wrote. He says, "They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." It's so easy for me to walk in on a Sunday morning. Worship was wonderful today, and you know, the praise team has practiced those songs, and they've prayed together, and the presence of God was here, and it's easy for me to walk in here. And, you know, thinking about, okay, I got to do this, I got to do this. You know, because when I'm at church, I'm at work. This is my work here. And so, you know, I'm thinking of all the things that need to happen, the transitions of the service and all that stuff's going on in my mind. And it's easy for me to stand on the front row and sing a song and my heart's far from it. Has anybody else ever done that? You sang a song, but you've been thinking about what you're cooking for lunch. I mean, we all do those kind of things. And this is part of what it is, because I love those moments to when, you know, the presence of God is here and we're worshiping and you just forget everything and you just lift your hands to God and you worship and you just are so grateful for what God's done. See, you sing the same song, but the difference is your heart. Where is your heart in all of this? See, I'm a routine guy. I like to do the same thing every day. Otherwise, I feel like I'm lost and I don't get anything accomplished. But my typical morning routine is I get up, I take a shower, I eat breakfast, and I read my Bible. And I have had to build that into my routine to make sure that I have time for God. If I miss that part, most of the time I don't read my Bible. And because my routine is broken. But I'm a routine guy. And so it's easy for me to fall into this, to where I go through the motions of doing my God thing, but if my heart's not in it, then God has become my pastime instead of my passion. See, we can do all of the right things in our Christian life. And that's what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law did. On the outside, they were the perfection. They were the picture of righteousness. But on the inside, they were full of sin. And they were full of greed. And so we've got to be careful that we don't trade in our passion for God for ritual and routine. And it's an easy transition to make if you're not careful. Because we can become all about the rules and the rituals of doing the Christian life. But if our heart is not there, we're not living out of passion anymore. See, we are either seeking God or we're going through the motions. That's the first litmus test of if our relationship with God is about passion or pastime. Revelation chapter 3, we see the next one. In Revelation, this is the revelation of John as he was on the island of Patmos, and God was revealing this to him, and he revealed that this was Jesus writing letters to the seven churches. And this is the letter to the church of Laodicea. We find this in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. He says, "Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen." I love how it explains Jesus in a lot of these things. He is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. "I know all the things that you do, that you're neither hot or cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." And here we see the scene as, you know, he wants us to be hot, passionate about our relationship with him where it's driving us. Or he wants us to be just completely cold to him. Just like, "God, I don't even care." But he said, because you're in this middle ground, you're not passionate and you're not just cold to me, but you're in this middle ground called lukewarm. This is where this church is at. Notice what he said. He says, "I know the things that you do." So apparently they're doing something right, but there's a problem. Listen to this, verse 17. "You say, 'I am rich and I have everything I want. I don't need anything.' And you don't realize that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. then you will be rich. I'll also buy white garments for me, so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness. An ointment for your eyes, so that you'll be able to see. I wish I could dive into that. That's some really cool imagery there of what he's talking about. Verse 19. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. The next test that we can do is, am I indifferent in my relationship with God? And it's so easy to get there lots of times that you know, we go a few days, we don't read, we don't pray, we just become like, you know, I should read my Bible, I know, but I've got to go mow the yard, or the kids have got a game, and we just become indifferent about our relationship with Him. It's not that you hate God or that you're deep into sin. It's just you have this disconnection from God. Let me ask you this question. If we treated our relationship with our spouse, our kids, or our friends the same way we relate to God, how would your relationships be? Are you passionate about your relationship with your spouse or your kids, with your friends? Do you love spending time with your friends and talking about the day and going to ball games and doing all that stuff? What if the way we relate with God, we do with our friends? How good would our friendships be? How good would our marriage be if we did the same? Is God your passion or your pastime? Have you become indifferent? The third one we find in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I know some of these are tough, but I believe that we have to have times that we evaluate ourselves, that we judge ourselves and kind of see where we are spiritually. Because if we never come in and evaluate, how are we ever going to know when we're off, when we're missing it? John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more fruit. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. We see this awesome imagery of being connected to the vine. And as long as, you know, something's connected to its source, it'll produce, it'll grow, it'll be healthy. But as soon as it disconnects, it begins to die. And I believe this is what happens in our relationship with God when we make Him our pastime, when we lose the passion in our lives, is that we kind of disconnect from God. And things kind of start going downhill. We quit bearing fruit in life. So what fruit is your life bearing right now? You know, lots of times when people come talk to me, it's like, you know, I'm having this problem, I'm struggling in this area. One of the questions I like to ask is, how is your relationship with God right now? And a lot of times you can see where the issues stem from because they're no longer connected with God. They're no longer passionate. They're no longer seeking God and wanting that closeness with God and challenge from God. So what kind of fruit is your life producing now? See, when we're connected with Jesus, when we remain in Him, there's a fruit that begins to grow. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, godliness, self-control. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So what do you think this fruit is all about? Is the fruit that we grow in our lives, is that for us? Have you ever seen a tree eat its own fruit? No, that's kind of weird, isn't it? But a tree grows fruit so other people can come and eat when they're hungry. See, the reason God wants us to bear fruit in our lives is not so that we can benefit from it. It's so that other people can come and experience the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, His goodness, His kindness. See, God wants us to bear fruit so that we can be a witness for Him and so that other people can come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And so one of the things that we can test is, what kind of fruit am I producing in my life right now? What is it that people see in me? Are they seeing the love of God in my life? Are they seeing God's grace? Do I have the peace that passes all understanding in my life to where people notice it? See, the one thing about bearing fruit is that usually when you're bearing fruit, God challenges you. And that's when a lot of times people disconnect from the vine, because there's this thing called God's pruning that He likes to do in our lives. And that when we're seeking God, when I seek God and when I'm trying to get close to God, I realize that He's wanting to cut some things out of my life, some things that are holding me back, some things that are not godly. And He begins to work in my life. And a lot of people want to disconnect at that point because they don't want to go through the pruning process. And so, how is your fruit in your life? Do you feel that God's trying to prune you right now? Is God challenging you in some areas? If you feel disconnected from God, maybe you've made God your pastime instead of your passion. So the three tests that we can do is that, are you all about the rules and the rituals in your relationship with God, or is it about the passion? Do you feel indifferent in your relationship with God? And is your life bearing fruit? Do you feel that God's trying to prune you to make you better at this moment, or have you disconnected from God? And so, I don't want you to be distraught if you feel like God is your pastime right now. Because like I've said, we've all been there. We've all gone through that process. And I go through it every year. But the question is, what are you going to do about it? If you feel that God is your pastime right now, what do you want to do about it? See, the one thing I don't want you to do is feel ashamed of where you are, because shame never fixed anything. Shame only makes you feel bad and you just don't do anything about it. And so, but during this series, I want to challenge you. I want to, and this, like I said, anytime I get up here and talk, that means God's been dealing with me about this. God's been dealing with me about my passion for Him. And so I just want to pass on the love to you guys too. Maybe God can deal with some of y'all too if you're in that situation. But during this series, I want to talk about the passion of Christ. What was God's passion? What was it that drove Jesus when he was here on the earth? What drove Him to the cross? What was He concerned about when He was here? Because I believe that those should be our passions as well. And also during the series, I want to talk about how to ignite the passion in your life again. Because like I said, I do this 3 times a year. And I have to ignite that passion in my life 3 times every year. And it's not always the same thing that does it. But through this series, I want to talk to us about how can we ignite that passion? How can we get on fire for God again, and so that we can begin to bear fruit and that we can begin to be witnesses for God again? Can we pray today? Father, we love You. God, thank You that You are a God of passion. You are a God of love. God, You're even a God of anger. God, You hated sin so much that You were willing to send Jesus to give up His life to pay the price for it. God, I pray that You begin to stir in our hearts a passion for You again. God, take us through the pruning process so that we can bear fruit for You, God, so that You can use us for Your glory. God, we thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we all stand and worship today?
I see the work of Your hand. Galaxies spinning ahead.